Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up for Tuesday, December 19th. My name is Magnus Thiebald. I'm your host for this hour. And we're bringing you part two of a presentation we started last week on Speak Up. And I hope you enjoyed that presentation and will enjoy the one today. This will take up most of the program. It runs about 45 minutes. And then we'll have some good music and Bird Note and some of your other favorites after that. Today's presentation is called Witnessing. Tim Agaris Hujhadesquelch was a presentation made at the SFU Gallery in the fall of 2022 by artist Sima Agaris. A performance at the SFU Gallery. And then this is a discussion about the performance that took place afterwards, featuring Tanya Lucan Linklater, Alicia Johnny Hawkins, and Mikel D'Angeli. And they're going to be discussing a whole bunch of issues related to indigeneity and the performance at the gallery of Tima Agaris. Part one was very interesting, and I think you'll find this one too. Because we had to take a much larger discussion, one that lasted almost 75 minutes, and break it across two programs, the first part you'll hear is an introduction and setup that we also played last week, and after a few minutes that will be finished, and then it gets into the new part of the discussion that we are presenting today. So without further ado, here is the panel discussion, Witnessing Sima Agaris Hujhadesquelch, Giving It All Away. What does it mean to bear witness? The act of witnessing is also an act of universal acceptance. Giving is entwined with wealth and abundance, depending on the reciprocal relationship one has with the land and community. It is the ideology that helped Indigenous nations maintain sustenance for centuries.
If you're not familiar with who I am also from the Tahltan tribe, just like Thema, as well as Alicia, who is with us today. I know Thema because I've been working alongside her for T Wild for the past 2.5 years now as a research assistant. So I've been helping develop learning curriculums for the school district up north, as well as Tahltan revitalization in terms of artwork and language and being on the land and decolonizing the classroom experience. I was offered this position, this opportunity to help with the witness interview by Christy and Thema about a month ago, and I'm really honored to be here, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be a part of this project, especially because I wasn't able to be at the exhibition and the ceremony, which I deeply regret. I had an exam at the same time, unfortunately, but I'm happy to be a part of this interview today, so thank you for having me. And before we get started, I wanted to acknowledge the unceded territories that I am currently on. So I'm located in Terrace, British Columbia right now, which is the unceded territories of the Tsimshian Nation, as well as Gitsan Nation. And I also wanted to offer anyone else to share where they are currently located and which unceded territories they are currently living on or in the Zoom call on.
Thank you, Haley. I can go next. My name is Christy Trinier, and I'm speaking today from the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish First Nations.
I don't feel that I should go next because this being a Tahltan exhibition and being online with two Tahltan women, I feel like you should go next, Alicia.
Hi, I'm Alicia Johnny Hawkins. I'm currently on the unceded territory of the Kaska Dene Nation. I'm in Good Hope Lake, and I'm so thankful to be here and be asked to be a part of this interview. I was fortunate enough to attend Thema's exhibition, which was quite the experience, and I loved every bit of it. And I'm currently working with Thema, with T-Wild and Haley for the past 3 months. So it's very, very great work that we're doing. So thank you.
Why was some Florum Newsom Duayu, Dr. Michael D'Angeli Duam Gamsuayu, Assistant Professor at the School of Creative Arts, University of the Fraser Valley, De Hesausnu, Tsimshianu, Lachski Dipteagu, Shumatla Katla, Ligi Takwan, De Wotwadku, Takwan Gwa, Upsum Lokwo, Luam Godu, Na Lu Yeltgen Gui. So my name is Simplorum Newsom, my real name, and then my other name is Dr. Michael D'Angeli. I am of the Tsimshian Nation of Matlakatla, Alaska, and this is where I'm calling from, the Annette Island Indian Reserve, where I was born and raised. And I also said I'm just really happy to be home, to be calling from my people's territory. Achsit Newsom, thank you.
Chumai, my name is Tanya Lukeen Linklater, and I'm speaking today from the side of Sacred Buffalo Guardian Mountain, known as, I think, Minerpa in Stony Nakoda. This is the Banff area in Treaty 7 territory. So I'm acknowledging the Stony Nakoda, Tsuut'ina First Nation, and the Blackfoot Confederacy. I'm just visiting this place right now. It's not my home, but I just wanted to mention that. I'm from the native villages of Afognak and Port Lions, which is in southwestern Alaska, in the Kodiak Archipelago. I'm Shukpiak, but I live and work in Nipissing Anishinaabe Gaki, or Nipissing First Nation territory in what is considered Northern Ontario, so north of Toronto. I'm really pleased to be in conversation with folks today.
Thank you all, and to Haley for the acknowledgement. I would like to give you all a welcome from SFU Galleries and just extend our gratitude for you being here today speaking together. We'd like to share that Tanya Lukeen Linklater, who is a mentor to the Magaras throughout their exhibition, who had Eskelch, give it all away, isn't able to be a part of the conversation today, but will be sharing in the conversation in a separate recording. So as a part of like our gratitude and welcome, we just wanted to share some words from Thema regarding like an inspiration for our conversation today in remembering and witnessing the performance that was held last December at SFU Galleries on Burnaby Mountain. So Thema shared this text: when clothes smell like smoke and vinegar, when fingers rake debris from berries, when skin is stained blue, I know I am rich. Water keeper, this mountain exhales sustenance and shrouds my body to rise again, swirling unimaginable abundance, divine. So pretty beautiful description and inspiration for us to begin. I'll continue on by sharing Tanya Lukeen Linklater's biography. Tanya's performances, works for camera, installations and writings cite indigenous dance and visual art lineages, our structures of sustenance, and weather as an organizing force. She undertakes embodied inquiry and rehearsal in relation to scores and ancestral belongings in museums and elsewhere alongside dance artists, composers, and poets. Through collaboration, her works reckon with histories that affect Indigenous peoples' lived experiences, homelands, and ideas. She continues to write in relation to what she has called felt structures. Her Alutiiq and Supiaq homelands are in southwestern Alaska, where much of her family continues to live. She's a member of the native villages of Afnogak and Port Lions in the Kodiak Archipelago.
Next, I'm just going to read out Alicia's biography that she shared with me. So, Alicia Johnny Hawkins is a Tahltan multidisciplinary visual artist. Her practice grapples with mediums like filmmaking, photography, painting, and Indigenous art making through beading, sewing, drumming, and traditional song and dance. She also enjoys being connected to her homelands through activities like fishing, hunting, hiking, and snowshoeing. Hawkins' primary inspirations stem from her desire to share her culture with the world through diverse mediums of creation and traditional sustenance. She is currently pursuing her Bachelor of Visual Arts at Emily Carr University, and she has also recently gained a position as a research assistant alongside me for Tuudecechu Holistic Indigenous Leadership Development, otherwise known as TWILD, in which she will be able to better research, practice, and teach about her Tahltan heritage.
Thank you. Thank you, Haley. I'll read Mikhail D'Angeli's biography. Mikhail D'Angeli was born and raised in Annette Island Indian Reserve and is of the Timshishan Nation of Metalka, Alaska. She is an assistant professor of the School of Creative Arts in the University of the Fraser Valley in Abbotsford, British Columbia. Her work focuses on Indigenous language revitalization, visual and performing arts, resurgence, sovereignty, protocol, and decolonization. D'Angeli is a dancer, choreographer, curator, and activist. As one of the youngest advanced speakers and teachers of her people's language, she is dedicated to teaching Smalkak's language in community-based and university-accredited classes, as well as mentoring learners and educational staff in their process of language acquisition and the creation of pre-K to high school programs. For the past 15 years, she and her husband, artist and carver, Mike D'Angeli of Nixon Nation, have led the Gitxitsek Dancers, an internationally renowned Northwest Coast First Nations dance group specializing in ancient and newly created songs and mask dances. So continuing on, we'll tell a little bit about the background of the exhibition that Thema Garish shared with us last September through December in 2022. Hu Hadaskelch, Give It All Away, gestures towards concepts of value within Thema Garish's ongoing practice concerned with land, embodiment, sustainability, and industrial extraction. Her preparation for this project ranged from harvesting and processing berries, teas, and salmon in her home Tahltan territory to the development of sculpture with materials connected to mine sites. In the exhibition, Garish undertook a series of approaches in art making and display that invited the participation of the viewer, which culminated in a closing performance by the artist last December 10th.
Thank you so much for sharing, Christy. So it was kind of a preempt for this interview and for this witness meeting today. I wrote a little program description just about the idea of what witnessing and what doing business looks like in Indigenous ceremony, specifically Tahltan ceremony, and the experiences that Thema has with it. Goes like this. Witnessing Hu Hadaskelch, Give It All Away by Thema Garish. What does it mean to witness? To be a part of something much larger and more intertwined than the limitations of the individual. How do we shift the paradigm of business and transaction being rooted in impersonal exchanges of the material to intimate sharings between the self and the collective? In Indigenous philosophy, giving is directly correlated with wealth and abundance, and status is gained or lost depending on the reciprocal relationship one has with the land and their community. As a result, exchanges in business and ceremony and in life take a spiritual form. The act of witnessing is also the act of universal acceptance. It is this ideology that has helped tribes maintain sustenance for centuries. Concepts such as these are analyzed and implemented in Tel-Ten artist Thema Agaris's most recent exhibition, Witnessing Huga Desklash, Give It All Away. I am also working on my pronunciations, so I apologize in advance. Agaris describes the audio publication as a collecting remembering, a truth about an experience to document the gathering and performance that concluded Thema Agaris's solo exhibition at SFU Galleries.
Thank you, Haley. And our conversation today will be edited by sound artist and engineer John Brizzo.
So I might mention that the walking tour that Thema undertook at the beginning of the performance, she started outside of the gallery and she explained that she wanted to acknowledge her citations. She acknowledged place and people, her family and material, what it does and how she sources it. It was quite profound and really a strong, strong exercise in orality and in the practice of orality. And I had felt, you know, in that moment, I really wish we would have documented it. But of course, this was her request, is that we remember. And that's quite powerful as well, you know, that we remember these moments. I'm going to get back to sort of reflecting on some of the comments that were shared in this fantastic conversation with Haley, Alicia, and Mike Yell. But I wanted to actually just bring forward that there's something really powerful in the way that Thema gathers people. So obviously in the actual performance, she had gathered all of these people that her family, different generations, women from her community, her auntie, her mom, her daughter. You know, there was teenagers that were there. There were little ones, as Mike Yell explained. So, and there were so many women present. And Thema has this incredible capacity to sort of mobilize people in support of the vision that she has. You know, when she brought me on board and she asked to be in conversation with me over the course of a year in this deep preparation for this incredible undertaking, I was so pleased to have those ongoing conversations with her, to support her in this endeavor. And, you know, Thema has this incredible understanding that's so powerful in terms of place and material, experience and performance, and of being in relation to each of those that I've just mentioned, material and in relation to performance and in relation to place, but also of being in relation to community and the hard work of being in relation to community, which is a different kind of work than perhaps the work of being an artist in a gallery. So she has this really incredible understanding of those distinctions and also how they sort of cross and where they intersect. I also just wanted to mention that there was this powerful moment when she asked me and her mother to hold the blanket, the tapestry or the textile, the woven blanket that depicts Mount Edzaidza. And so I was so honored to be asked to hold that as she then cut the strips. And each time she made a cut, the copper pennies, many of them fell to the ground and just made this incredible sound on the gallery floor that really shifted everything in that moment. It was so powerful. And then she would place that strip around her neck, and then she would take, further cut that down and then give them away. It was so profound to take something, as everyone else has said, that is intended within a colonized space to be preserved and to sort of be suspended in time for as long of a duration as can be, as collections is always interested in the preservation of work, whether those are ancestral belongings or cultural belongings or contemporary artworks. And so in this sort of dismantling, as Michael described it. It was just so powerful.
Something I talked about a bit in the preempt, and something that I feel is really important to me in my journey of connecting to my culture and in my Indigenous philosophy, is the idea of status. So question 6 asks to you to consider the concept of status. How does this differ in Indigenous philosophy when compared to the modern idea of status as being singularly powerful and hierarchical?
I would add patriarchal, because, you know, that is also something in colonial views of status that is so deeply embedded. And to see this space also privilege the matriarchy, you know, there's so many, and to think back to the family that Thema brought to the space, like her family was primarily women that she brought from her family forward. And then as well, the witnesses, we outnumbered the men. There was only one guy on that that was asked to witness, and that's unusual for, I feel like, our potlatch system in itself, and in many of our communities. My husband and I, my husband is also Niska and Tlingit, and we travel around up to the Yukon, throughout Southeast Alaska, and across BC witnessing potlatches. And he's hosted over 30 potlatches. I'm somewhere in the 20s. And what we've come to see is the way that the colonial patriarchy has come to dominate a lot of the practices within the potlatch. So to see the privileging of the matriarchy and this idea of status not necessarily being an issue in the way that a lot of the business we witness at amongst our relatives, and I won't get into so many details, and the nations that we belong to, is that waiting for males to come forward, or male chiefs, when it's the women who are so busy and working their tails off and in the kitchen and getting the gifts organized and all of the rest. But you have somebody that may or may not have even been present the whole time being asked to witness. And you have all these women that were there from before the potlatch began. So I was really quite fired up in terms of my own matriarchal upbringing to just see this in the space. It just was so empowering. It was such an empowering space. It's funny to say gallery potlatch, but that's exactly what it was, the potlatch in the gallery.
I think you definitely touch point on a lot of the way things have been for many years with the patriarchal of male and their roles in our culture even, and how roles have been reversed or switched. And I see powerful women definitely in our nation, other nations. I get like so proud of how far we have come, even just today, and how far we are still going to keep going in these roles and constantly, because women do so much. There's just so much to work on. And I really loved that you pointed out with Thema's exhibition and all the women that were around. It was very beautiful, and all the gifts and the honoring that she has done within that. And when I sometimes listen to other nations and how they do things when it comes to the male role and how they would lead first or just things like that. And I've always mostly grown up in like a single mother household, and then me being a single mother myself, and to look at my young boy is usually he would be stepping in some sort of role. And yeah, it's very interesting, like the concept of everything. But yeah, me being like a single mother and showing him that women can do everything as well and lead and conquer as well. And yeah, it's a very great question. And then I love seeing women chiefs. It's like the greatest honor to witness. And Yeah, I love it. It's really great. Thank you.
Haley, is there anything you'd like to share on that concept of status and whether it's singularly powerful and hierarchical or this kind of modern idea that you proposed in the question?
I just want to acknowledge and appreciate both of you for bringing up the idea of patriarchal, because that is something I failed to mention in the question, but I agree with wholeheartedly. In just the idea of status, I really appreciate the differences in Indigenous philosophy compared to how we celebrate status today, which is the idea of hoarding wealth and competition and needing to be better and always separating ourselves from the community, which goes completely against everything that we valued and respected in our societies before these concepts were introduced to us or before we were told what being rich and being abundant was supposed to look like. And I really appreciate this idea of ceremony and doing business and coming back in like a full circle moment of everything being connected and realizing that we are no better than the person next to us, than any race or color or gender. We are all born from the same seed. And the sooner we recognize that, the sooner we are able to work together and make actual meaningful change and sustain ourselves. So I appreciate that. Thank you guys so much for sharing.
Yeah, it's really an honor to listen and to kind of remember and the experience of the exhibition and the artworks through your words. I'd just like to offer this moment as a chance to share your closing thoughts on the questions that we've shared together and the like really incredible, powerful statements and accounts that you've given throughout the conversation.
I think some of the other points that were brought forward had to do with the patriarchy versus, you know, our matrilineal and matriarchal communities and how empowering it was to see women at the center of the performance and in relation also through all of the ways in which Thema prepared for the exhibition. So the way that she gathered on the land and in the water, how she spent this time with her family laboring and working, and then to give that away is so profound and so powerful. And I can't even really express fully like what this experience was like, but I will say that I wept throughout. You know, I really wanted to be with Thema and to witness what was happening, how she undertook this, the ethos, the approach, the intention, and it was just so strong. Like, she was so centered and grounded and clear in her action. And it was a smallish gathering of people who were invited. And I think some people wondered why I kept crying. And I think that part of it has to do with the fact that what Thema is committed to is this reinvigoration of Tahltan philosophies and practices, and she commits that energy and that effort in her life outside of her practice, not just as an artist, but also her commitment to working with her community. And that this was another kind of manifestation of that like deep, lifelong practice of love and generousness to her community, to her family, and also for those of us who aren't from her community who were able to come and to be in relation and to witness this incredible moment. I guess I just want to say as well that, like others, I drank tea from the copper vessel. I really enjoyed watching Michael play with Natty on the floor with cups, and the children they need to be a part of these things. They need to be a part of our practices, as Michael said. Michael also spoke about Indigenous motherhood, and When her little one danced, he held a rattle. She placed eagle down on his small head. You know, Mike, her spouse, drummed and sang. And then he brought the eagle.